As we begin this retreat, I'd like to offer you four building blocks for doing the mindfulness practice here in the retreat. And these four can be done sequentially. And some of you might like to have just a clear kind of sequence to just in a relaxed way kind of just rotate through, and it keeps you engaged and keeps you connected. And some of you might find that at different times, different sittings, walkings, that one of these four elements can be, or ways of practicing, is particularly useful or relevant. Or you might discover to your surprise slightly that this is what you are doing, what you're focusing on as you're going along. And perhaps some of these four can be relevant for any way that you're practicing. There's different ways of practicing mindfulness, and some of you have your own way that you've found. But you might find that hearing these four might augment or enrich how you practice. And these ideas, these elements, go back to the time of the Buddha and his teachings, so it's not like a novel idea. So the four are to know your experience as you're having it. The second is to feel your experience of the moment as it's felt. The third is to relax. The fourth is to rest your mind in your body. You can sometimes see it in people when they're, we conventionally say, they're in their head. You can almost see that. It's almost like all their life force kind of is going up into their head. It's like blood is all flowing there, or their energy, you know, their what's most activated is kind of upwelling feeling, like just kind of like everything, their eyes, their of course they're in their head, but it's kind of like everything is kind of like, seems like it's, that's where the life is for the person, like the person, that's where they live, is in their head. And sometimes, probably, you know, you feel it for yourself. I feel it sometimes for myself. Meditation is mostly benefited from living in the body, to not being up in that. Living in your head is often synonymous also to being, living in thoughts, living in ruminations, living in analysis and judgments and commentary. And so this process of letting the mind, letting the locus of attention, locus of where we live, drop into the body, rest in the body. So knowing has a cognitive element, and it's the most kind of extreme version of that is what's called mental noting, a simple word that names the experience for what it is. So if you're aware of the breathing, maybe breathing feels choppy, maybe the breathing feels smooth. The breathing feels, is experienced, is known as being slow or fast or deep or shallow. And that knowing can be a kind of almost like cognitive, a word in the mind. It recognizes. It's a recognition of what's happening. It could be that it's feels wordless. It doesn't feel like the word part of the mind is activated, but there is a clear sense that it's known. So if someone asks you, "What was that last breath like?" you could say, "Oh, it was shallow," or "It was very subtle." or it was very deep and relaxed. It felt the ease. There was ease in it, or there was a sense of resistance as I came to the top of the inhale, or I couldn't quite exhale all the way. So these things can be recognized kind of wordlessly, and also something halfway in between those two. It's almost a word, but it doesn't activate the discursive part of the mind. Or it is a word that comes, but again, it's not a discursive part of the mind. It's not that higher level of activity of thinking that often keeps us in our head. And this clarity of seeing, clarity of knowing, has a cognitive element to it. There's something that it supports the clarity. Oh, this is how the breath is known. So if you do it sequentially, you start by just knowing the breath, knowing how it is. Maybe you take one breath, two breaths, three breaths, just in a relaxed flow. Just get to know it better. And once you know it, then to feel what is known. And this is much more embodied. This has to do with all the physical senses that we have in our body. Primarily it's tactile, so it's feeling the physicality of it in the body, sensing and feeling. And take some breaths to feel it. So it's embodied. And the more embodied you can feel the breathing, the more you'll be able to, when the time comes, to rest the mind in the body. And then the third is to relax. And maybe that's a kind of a pedestrian, plebeian, simple thing for a great spiritual person to do, to just relax. So the Buddha has a more sophisticated word for it, but it doesn't quite work in English. Tranquilize. And bring a quality of tranquility. So if you need to be more sophisticated in it, you can become more tranquil in the body, tranquilize the body, or just plain English, just relax. Relax. And then a little bit of version of relaxing is this resting the mind in the body. And maybe for some of you that doesn't quite make sense at this point, but it's kind of like dropping the center of where you live, or center of the locus of being, locus of self, the person, the activity which is kind of like in charge, or the knowing and feeling and doing the practice. Wherever that, if there is a locus for that, and it's maybe in the head, or can you rest it? Let it settle into the body. Some people rest it in the heart. Some people rest it in the belly. And so that could be done in an easygoing kind of rhythm. It keeps you engaged and keeps you moving through and through and through. Or you just find that one of them is nice for you. That keeps you engaged. That's enough for you to keep the mind from getting distracted and wandering off. It can be done for the breathing. It can be done for any experience in the body. It can be done even for the thinking mind, distracted mind. Knowing, though, that's distracted. What does that feel like to be distracted? It feels like a lot of tension or agitation. Where does it feel to that? Maybe in the forehead or behind it. And then relax. Relax the tension, pressure, contraction of the distracting mind. Maybe resting in the mind and the body. And after having done that, maybe the distracted mind is almost as much activated as before you did it. That's okay. And then go through it again. And again. So maybe that keeps you connected and engaged. Or maybe you do have another way of practicing. You don't want to do something that seems so radically different. But maybe just kind of a little heightened attention to the fact that you're already doing some of these pieces. Maybe you do the knowing. Maybe you do the sensing and feeling. Maybe you do the relaxing in its own way. And if what you're practicing doesn't do any of these four, that would be interesting to talk to me about. I'd love to hear that and find out what's going on for you. So, to begin, tell me you've already begun, with a posture. You might not have to change your posture at this moment, but you might first, without moving at all, know your posture, recognize how your posture is. Does it feel comfortable for your body, your posture? Is there tension in your posture? Is there leaning in your posture, collapsing in your posture? Are you leaning forward slightly so there's extra pressure in your hands as you push into them with in the posture you have, are your elbows relaxed? Some people will flap their elbows ever so slightly just to make sure that they're not held tight. And then to feel the body in this posture. What are the feelings and sensations that are most active, most present? What parts of your body do you most feel in this posture? And having done this, now is it appropriate to adjust your posture a little bit? One of the reasons to have an alert posture is that in some ways the body can relax more deeply that way, if the posture is kind of really aligned well. And then to rest the mind and the body. To relax the thinking mind. And then within this body, as part of your bodily experience, to know how the body experiences breathing. What are the sensations? What are the movements in the body as you inhale, as you exhale? To know, to recognize how it is. Where the recognition, the knowing, is radically simple. Without judgments, commentary, where the knowing is simple. Almost as if, or as if, this is the only breath there'll ever be. No previous ones, no future ones to compare it to. This breath is allowed to be itself. Maybe almost as like a wonder of the natural world. And feel the breathing. Feeling or sensing the body breathing. Is in that meeting place where sensing and sensations occur together in the same place at the same time. Or there's no clear way of distinguishing sensations from the sensing. And that meeting place does not require words or thoughts. And as you exhale, is there some very simple, unambitious relaxing of the exhale? Maybe a sense of ease with the beginning of the exhale. Maybe at the end of the exhale, a little feeling, little sense of release, relaxing, that lets the exhale continue another moment or so. And knowing, feeling, and relaxing might involve some mental energy or focus, choice. And wherever that effort to do so is in your mind, maybe then rest the mind in the body. And then whatever way that seems nice for you, supportive for you, you can continue with these four aspects of meditation. Whatever way is nice for you, maybe just one of them or two of them, whatever supports you to stay connected here, now, in the present moment. instead of distracted thinking, knowing in a relaxed way, as if you have all the time in the world to know. Feeling your experience as if there's plenty of time to feel. Giving yourself generous time to relax and to rest the mind and the body. Taking the time it takes so there's a beginning of clarity, becoming clear about this present moment experience. And as you hear the bell ending the sitting, don't be in a hurry for anything. See if you can just be, give yourself plenty of time to end the meditation. So I would like to suggest that one of the slogans for the retreat is that there's plenty of time. Because you need to give yourself time to allow the clarity to happen. So what is clarity? It might not be obvious, but to clearly know, to clearly feel, to have a sense that there's clarity about the present moment. The fog has cleared of your mind. But you need to give time for that, because if your thinking is in a hurry, if your thinking predominates, then there's not time for clarity to occur, because clarity is being filled with thoughts. Giving yourself time to do whatever you do at the retreat center without sacrificing participating in a crew where you want to do things together in a timely way. They have plenty of time doesn't mean that when it's time to go and work in the kitchen after a sitting, oh, there's plenty of time, so I'll go have tea. And since there's plenty of time, I'm a little hungry, I'll have a snack. There's plenty of time, I think I'll brush my teeth. And now I should take a rest. And you show up with 5 minutes left in the work period. There's plenty of time means that going to the kitchen you do with plenty of time, that activity, just to be clear with the going down the steps, to be clear and I'm walking across the floor. So these four elements of these four, knowing, feeling, relaxing, and resting the mind and the body, the first two are kind of broad categories, actually, of things. And the first one is, and I roughly associate the knowing part with mindfulness and the feeling part with concentration. That to get concentrated, it helps to get absorbed, kind of enter into something. Like you enter into the feeling of the breath, the feeling of the body, the sense of something. Knowing is a little bit more, promotes clarity of seeing that we want in vipassana or insight. But these two support each other, and ideally both are developing as we go through the retreat. Both developing mindfulness and developing concentration. And so sometimes we're emphasizing one maybe more than the other. Sometimes we're doing both, like if you go through the sequence of these four. But the feeling is more like kind of, it gives a chance to kind of not feel from the control tower, but feel in the midst of where the sensations are and kind of drop into them and almost like you enter into the middle of them and rest there. And the knowing promotes clarity, to know clearly, to see clearly, to observe, to perceive clearly. So that said, there is, in the first day of the retreat, there might be a walking meditation. Might be a little bit more supportive for the retreat to use the walking meditation a little bit more as a concentration practice, so that there's often the thinking mind is busier the first day, and to help the thinking mind rest more, relax more, to let the thinking mind know it's okay. They can trust that it doesn't have to think everything out. They can get quiet. And one way to do the walking meditation, so it's a little bit more of a concentration practice, if you'd like to just offer you this as an option, is to count the steps. And you would first you'd count up to five steps, 1 to 5. And then you'd start over again at 1, but the next time you do it, you count up to 6 steps. Then you start over again, next time up to 7, the next time 8, next time 9, next time 10. When you get to 10, you go backwards that way. You count up to 9, you count up to 8, to 7, 6, and to 5. If you get to 5, you go up again, up and down, that scale, kind of. And if you lose count, you start over again at the beginning. You don't have to criticize or be disappointed in yourself that you lost count or something. That's just a kind of distraction to do that. You can just start again. And having that count and staying in the flow of it with the support of that count, for some people, helps them not be so distracted. If it agitates you and doesn't help you, of course, don't do it. But it might be the better alternative. Even if you don't like doing it, it might be better than just the pleasantness of just drifting off in thought and being distracted. For those of you who are new here to IRC, and maybe for those people online, for walking meditation, you generally want to choose a walkway that's about 20 or 30 paces long, steps long. And we have a walking hall here, and that you can use. You can walk on the decks, you can walk in the hallways, they're wide enough. You can walk in the community room. So just about anywhere you can do walking meditation. And the parking lot, there's a wonderful forest deck that's out there. It's a really wonderful place to walk on. And of course, sometimes it's just nice just to walk, roam around gently and just, you know, that sometimes that settles and relaxes the mind if you just walk around in an easy way and not try to do walking meditation per se. And if that supports you to kind of have the mind rest in the body, by all means. But generally, it's better not to wander around too much if you really start getting into it. Get concentrated, because more concentrated you get, the more simple you want the walking to be. And it's simple enough to wander around, but you're navigating the road and the rocks on the paths and all kinds of things. But if you go back and forth, it's pretty quickly you know the route. And so that kind of navigating part of the mind goes quiet. So that's what I have for today, this morning. I wish you all well in the practice, and I hope you enjoy it, find a way to enjoy it.